Take your Bibles, would you please, and turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 14 this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. As you're finding your place this morning, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together? John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these encouraging words this morning. I pray that you would use these to help us today to love you better. Now, Father, for that task to be brought about, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him to help us today. Those of us in this room and those of us listening over the internet. Father, one last thing. If there's somebody that does not know this Jesus Christ this morning, I pray before they leave this room or before they shut off that computer that they would settle that this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we'll ask again that you make sure all your electronic devices are turned off, or at least so we don't have to hear them. We appreciate it very much and ask you to sit and listen very carefully for these few moments. Last Sunday, we preached on hell. It has always been my custom, habit, that I preach on Sunday on one hell, I preach on heaven the next. You see, why is that, Pastor Johnson? Because I want to. See, well, that makes hell better then, doesn't it? You can't make it any better. You cannot. There is no way to put a good face on a place called hell. You can use it as a cuss word. You can bandy it about. But you can't. There's also no way I could describe for you this morning heaven and make it sound any better than God could. The Bible mentions heaven 551 times. Now in the Bible there are three heavens. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. At that time, I believe, is when God created heaven, the first heaven. That's the heaven that holds the planets, the sun, the moon, the stars, our universe. Heaven number two, the Bible calls the atmosphere or the air, that simple air that we breathe. Heaven number three is a place called heaven. Jesus called it that this morning. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. And the place called heaven is what we're going to talk about this morning. You have no intention of breaking new ground on anything. You can't. I know this, and I say it often, it's true. There is more about heaven that we don't know than we do know. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we do know in a simple message. Last week we preached on questions about the place called hell. I want to talk to you about questions about the place called heaven this morning. First of all, question number one is this: what is heaven? John chapter 14 in your Bibles this morning, it is, as we mentioned a moment ago, it is a prepared place. So, Pastor, how do we really know there is a heaven? How sure can we be? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said this, look at me. He said, I go there to prepare a place for you. By faith, we know that there's a place called heaven. You say, well, I need something a little more substantive than that. Question, you mean you need something more than God and his word and the Lord Jesus Christ, who said there is a place called heaven, to convince you? Then nothing would convince you. If I took you to heaven and showed it to you, your eyes by fact would not believe what your heart must embrace by faith. We're not asking you to believe in heaven because we said there's heaven. Heaven is not the invention of the church. Heaven is not the invention of religion. Heaven is not something we'd all like to know is there. Heaven is something Jesus said was there. And he said, as much as you can believe God, you can believe me. And he said, I am telling you, there is a place called heaven. I have no problem with the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. If he said it's so, it is so. And that's why he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, if it's any different than what I'm about to tell you, I'd have told you that too. But I'm telling you now, he said, there is a place called heaven, and it is a prepared place. It says in that passage, same passage, he said, in my Father's house. He doesn't just use that as an analogy. Where his Father, the Heavenly Father, is, that's what heaven is. It's where the Father is. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Notice it says mansions, not split-level condos, not two-bedroom apartments. Mansions. You see what I think of this? I mean, actually mansions? Yes, actually mansions. Because he did say house in one part and mansions in another part. And so he made it clear to us that the abode, those who live in heaven don't just live, they don't live in shacks, they don't live in little shanties, they don't live in little two-room split-level jobs, they live in mansions. That's what the Bible said. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Later on, the Bible would go on to describe heaven as a place with streets and rivers and trees and people live there. It's a place. It's a real place. That's what heaven is. And most importantly, it's a place he's prepared for us. He said, look here, I go there to prepare a place for you. Now imagine you left this morning, and as you went out the door, we all handed you a key to a brand new house. This house is yours, built and paid and prepared for just for you. And here's the key and here's the address. Now I would think, now I don't know, maybe not. I would think before you ate lunch, you'd probably go see it. I don't think you'd say, oh, that's nice, I'll get around to it sometime this week. I don't think so. I think if we hand you the keys to a house, and then we said, it's not just a house, it's a mansion. I mean a mansion. Pillars, a little guy out in front holding a lamp, pointing his finger like that. I mean a mansion. Big windy driveway through a gate, go by the nine-hole golf course. That's mine. You get your own. And we go back, go by that, drive up to it. Somehow I just think if we did that for you and we handed you the keys to a mansion, I think you would probably want to know where it is and how to get there. Well, Pastor, Jesus said he's prepared for us a mansion. That means everybody is going to heaven. No, it means everyone has a place in heaven. And he has prepared this place with you in mind. But you have to have a reservation and you have to have an invitation. Can I show you your reservation this morning? Verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Listen, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You ever go to those motels that have the electronic keys? It's like looks like a credit card. Push it in the little lock. Little light pops on, you open the door. You ever get one of those and it didn't work? You ever get one of those at midnight when you're wore out and you got your suitcases and you just want to go in there and lay down and you're on the fourth floor and there's no elevator and you carried your luggage all the way up there? Say, what kind of motels you stay in? Some pretty rough places, to be honest with you. Some of them I thought I had to shoot my way in and out to get in that. But anyway, so you get the key and you're standing there, man, you're wore out and you put the key in, it doesn't work. You turn it over and it doesn't work. You rub it on your shirt, it doesn't work. You rub it on your sink, Christopher, it doesn't work. I mean, you're trying everything you can think of to get this thing to work, and it won't work. And you're thinking, now I got to go all the way down the stairs, go back to the front desk, get the guy with the brain to give me another key so I can get back in my room. And you find out that it doesn't get you in. It doesn't get you there. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, John 14:6 is God's reservation and his invitation. And he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No church, no religion, no philosophy, no belief. Nobody else is going to get you in there. You're going to put the key in that door, and it will not let you in unless you go through Jesus Christ. You have to go through Jesus Christ. And it has to be Jesus Christ alone and not Jesus Christ and anybody else. It has to be the one who's the way, the truth, the life. Nobody else. He has to be the way to heaven. Not part of it. Not a down payment. Not a partial investment. It has to be Jesus. It has to be his bloody death on the cross. His bodily resurrection as your hope for salvation. It has to be the way. He has to be the truth about it. It's about him. It's not about God. It's about anybody else. It's about him. It's about God the Son in human flesh. It has to be the truth about salvation. Not what you think. Not what I think. What God says. And it's Jesus. Then it has to be the life. He has to be the one I'm depending on for my eternal life, my hope of salvation. The fact that when I die, I step into the presence of God and I will be accepted by Jesus Christ because of him and nobody else. Now that's your invitation, that's your reservation. You take that or the key doesn't work. See there, some of these religions, the Catholic and Protestant religions, we're neither. We're not Catholic, we're not Protestants. We're Baptists. When Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Next verse says, and he gave to Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Some people believe that means through the church, the one that Jesus, Peter, is supposed to have started. That church is the keys to get into heaven. The truth is, you don't need keys to get into heaven. You got to have the door. John 10 says Jesus is the door. You got to have Christ, not the keys. Are we clear? So salvation is through Christ alone. That's your invitation, that's your reservation, or you're not going. But if you're willing to trust Christ, he's got a place prepared for you. Hey, we're offering this morning the opportunity for a mansion. That's what heaven is. Look here now. He has prepared a place for you. Have you ever been someplace on this earth and you were just amazed at the beauty of it? You know, you're sitting there. Here you go. You're sitting in Hawaii. The sun is setting. There's a few clouds in the sky. God washes them with that beautiful orange color against that beautiful blue sky. And you're sitting there with a bowl of tropical fruit and a hamburger. It's called a balanced diet. If you just eat fruit, I mean, really? You got yourself a bowl of tropical fruit. And you got yourself a hamburger, a real hamburger, not an In-N-Out hamburger. Not a McDonald's hamburger, a real hamburger that actually has meat on it and stuff and a Diet Coke and a bunch of French. Okay, anyway, so you're sitting there and you're watching the sun go down on a beautiful Hawaiian sunset. Isn't that beautiful? There's a place God has prepared for you that makes anything you've ever seen that you thought was pretty pale in comparison. And I'm not trying to get you enticed this morning that you've got somehow this huge mansion that makes everybody else's place look like a doghouse. And boy, you got this great big. All I'm trying to tell you is this. He has this place prepared for you. And there's much more to it than we do not know. There's much more about what he has for us in heaven that we still don't know yet. And that's all right. You say, well, I want to know more. Well, you'll have forever to know more. Because it's a forever thing. There's no lease. There's no 30-year down payment. There's no time. It's forever. Heaven is a prepared place. Next question would be, where is heaven then? Verse number 3 of John 14. Jesus said, where I am, the next word is there. You may be also. Listen, where I am, there you may be also. You know the actual geographical location of heaven? Now listen. He did not say, what cloud I'm on, you'll be on the next cloud. Heaven is not about an existence. Well, when we die, we go to this place, and it's kind of like an existence. No, look at me. It's a real place. So since it's a real place, then where is it? Well, I know this. I know it's not here, because he said there. He's standing here on this earth saying, there you may be also. There Those folks who want to have heaven on earth, I feel sorry for you. I really do. As much as the Lord will try to fix this place up down the road someday, you still don't want, this is not heaven. No, this is not heaven. There have been places on this earth I thought were very heavenly. Very much like heaven. The Bible even talks in Ephesians about having heavenly places here on earth. Those are nice, but that's not what heaven is. Where is heaven, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you where it is. It's wherever Jesus is. Because he said, there will you be also. So it's not on this earth. It's not here. It's not some existence. It's not some ethereal thing where we just kind of float around in nowhere land and play harps and have long blonde hair and sprinkle poofa dust on people. I mean, people got this weird idea about heaven. Well, it's in the Buddhists and other groups, you know. Well, you ascend into the existence of the realm. I was sitting next to a Buddhist guy on an airplane one time, and he said, "Well, we believe in an eternity. You just get absorbed into the greater self." I said, "You mean like your heaven's like a selfie?" And he looked at me like, "Don't make fun of me." And I said, "Well, come on, pal. I mean, explain how that is absorbed into the greater. So then you don't exist. You do, but you don't." And he looked at me with a smile on his face like that was enticing. I said, "You're there, but you don't know it?" He goes, "Basically." Can I tell you about a real heaven, sir? Let me tell you about a real heaven. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, golf courses. Let me talk about a real heaven now. This is a real heaven, sir. You know, the truth of the matter is, dear people, where heaven is not as important as understanding that it is really there. But number next is this. Just as much as hell is on the other beat of your heart, so is heaven. It's just, look here. It's that close. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You don't go to the grave and soul sleep. A funeral we went to in the Chicagoland area on there on Friday, 37-year-old man, his body lay there in that casket. That's not him. He's not in that casket. It's the body we remember, but that's not him. It was so hard to look at him and to see him. And I've done over 300 funerals. It's not like I've never seen death before. It wasn't that part of it. It's just seeing somebody that you knew and knew from a little child who grew up. And now he's 37 years old, way too young to leave this life, lying there in that casket. But he's not in that casket. They closed that lid. We went to the graveside. They lowered it into the ground. They didn't bury that young man because, see, the moment he drew his last breath in this life, he knew his next breath in heaven. It's that close. It's a breath away. It's this step on earth, this step in heaven. It's that close. That's where heaven is. Well, I hope to go there someday. I also hope to be in heaven someday, but I don't have the hope that makes me wish I'm going to heaven. I have the hope that comes from knowing I am going to heaven. I was telling that to a man one day, and he says, "You are arrogant. How arrogant of you to say you actually think you have a right to go to heaven." I said, "Well, no, sir, I don't have the right to go to heaven, and I don't deserve it. But see, my Savior promised me in heaven. He promised me to go to heaven. He promised me eternal life. He promised me, he prepared a place for me. No, sir, I don't have a right to go to heaven. I have the opportunity to go because of Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." I can't tell you where heaven is. I can just tell you it's very close. It's right on the other side of your next breath. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, would you turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, please, this morning? Because there's another question about heaven that we must answer today. Revelation chapter 21. Please don't say Revelations. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation 21. It's the last book in the Bible, almost the end of it. Revelation 21. We're going to look at the first few verses in this chapter, and I want you to look at it with me because the next question we're going to answer about heaven is this. Why is there a place called heaven? What is it made for? He said, "Well, it's made for us just to wander around." I've had people ask me, what do we do in heaven? By the way, we won't go there this morning, but in Revelation 22, it describes what you do in heaven. Not in full list, not in full totality, but it does give you an idea that we actually do stuff in heaven. But wait a minute, why is there heaven? Look at Revelation 21 and begin at verse 3, please. Revelation 21 and verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." That answers question number one. Why is there a heaven? So you and God can be together. said, well, I can't wait for that day. I've got so many questions to ask him. Oh, I want to know what this is all about. And I'm going to be in heaven. I'm just going to follow God around with my laundry list of questions of life and what it's all about. And I want to know, listen to me carefully, God wants you to be with him. That's why he made heaven, so you could be with him in a real place that you go forever to be with him. And the Bible says God will dwell with us and we will dwell with him. Say, how does that work? I don't know. It just says that he does. How is it God could be with literally hundreds of millions of people, all the saved from Adam to the last one before God closes the door? All of them, all those people that have been saved over these centuries now, how is it that this place called heaven, how is it God could be with all of us collectively yet individually? See, that's one of the unknowns in heaven. It doesn't say that God's over there and you go, oh yeah, he's over there. That's God over there. You ever been somewhere before in a place? When I was in the service, my last year in the service, I was in the Arctic. I got to be buddies with a friend of mine named Fern Chavez. Fern told me he lived in an area called East Chicago, which is not actually east of Chicago. So why it's called East Chicago, I have no idea. It's actually in Indiana. It's not in Illinois. And I was in Indiana going to school, and I'm driving down the road one day, and I saw one of those big water towers like they have in the Midwest that has the name of the city on it, and it said East Chicago. And I thought, whoa. And it had been 5-6 years since I'd gotten out of the service, never heard from Fern, never had any contact with him. And I'm sitting at a light looking at that water tower thinking, Fern Chavez lives in East Chicago. This is not close to where I'm living. I didn't even know that. Man, I gotta look him up while I'm there. And I ain't preaching, I'm telling the truth. You didn't get that. All right, never mind. I look in the car next to me, and there's Fern Chavez sitting in that car. Now, seriously, it was like, whoa. Like deja vu all over again. Didn't get that one either. Okay. So some of you folks are sharp as a bowling ball, honestly. Yeah, it's tough. I saw him in the car. I couldn't believe it. I rolled the window up. Fern! And he looked at me and he goes, Johnson! And we pulled over and we talked. I mean, there he was. Is that what it'll be like in heaven? Hey, there's God. I'm not sure. I don't know. How it is he can be with everyone collectively and yet individually, I'm not sure. But I know something. You're not going to long for his presence because he will be there. We'll see Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see Jesus. And God made heaven so there'd be no veil of tears and things between us and himself. There will be seeing Jesus there. That's why God made heaven. So he could be with us and we could be with him. That's what salvation is for. Salvation, friend, isn't just about eternal life. It's about restoring everything you've lost with God because of sin. It makes everything, well, that's point number two. Why is there a heaven to reunite us with all of our saved loved ones who've gone on before us? We'll all see them there. You ever wonder why this is Revelation 21:3, verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Ever wonder why there are tears in heaven? Why does he have to wipe the tears away? First of all, if there's any Johnson people up there, he has to, because we cry at everything. We eat lunch and cry. I mean, we cry at everything. When people come, we cry. When they leave, we cry. We cry at birthdays. We cry at funerals. We cry at celebrations. We cry at everything. My people are criers. We just cry. But no, there's crying in heaven for a whole other sermon and different set of reasons. But see, when God comes there and we meet with him, you can't tell me seeing a loved one you haven't seen in a long time isn't going to put tears in your eyes for a moment. But tears of joy, you understand. I don't believe they look like then what they look like here when they left. The Bible even tells us that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Jesus left this earth. He's about 33 years of age. I think everyone's about in that same category. I wouldn't fuss with you if you disagree with me, but then you'd be wrong too. Here's the thing. But we'll know who they are. Look at me. We'll know who they are. Some of you can't forgive God for taking a loved one. You can't let go. Well, it's just not fair, Pastor John. No, wouldn't you rather have them here? Well, of course. Healthy, yes. But now, question. You moms that had little ones go to heaven from your womb, Wouldn't you like to have had them here? Well, of course. Or would you like to have them forever? For eternity? You tell me what sounds more just to you. See, there's a little, and please don't take this the wrong way. There's a little bit of selfishness in us and how we long for people who are gone. Not all of it now, please. I miss my loved ones. I thought about them again this week. I miss my loved ones. They're all over there now. I get more over there now than I have on this side. And I miss them. I miss them a lot. And I miss being with them. I miss having them in my life. I miss them. Okay, so it's not being selfish to miss somebody and grieve over your loss. There's not a problem, none whatsoever. But there's a certain part of it, a little piece of it, that we wish. You know, I wish I could sit down with my grandmother and just have her be my grandmother and I could be her grandson. I'd just like to do that. That would just be pleasurable for a little period of time. I miss that part. That's part of what I miss for me. So I'm being selfish, but I'm just admitting it. But you see, now in forever, then it's a reunion that doesn't break up. I still remember my people, my dad's people, all of them were they were all people of faith, knew Christ, a Savior. But they're half of them were Democrats and half of them were Republicans. And when they come to our house, I live with my grandparents, staunch Democrats. They come to my grandparents' place, my grandparents would say, "Now we're not talking politics. None whatsoever. Let's not even bring it up." Well, you can't get people to stay shut up about that for very long. My grandmother's brother was a good personal friend of Ronald Reagan. Somewhere down the road, he'd mention his name, and it was on. It was on. So sometimes you have family reunions, and you can't wait till it's over. And all these people can go home, and you can get your house back, and your life. And part of your sanity. Not in heaven. And no Democrats and Republicans in heaven. No politics in heaven. None of that stuff that divided us here is going to divide us over there. Look at me now. It'll all be settled. And that's number three about why there's heaven. God resolves all matters here. All matters about this life, they're all resolved in heaven. Look at verse number five. He said, "Behold," and he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." He renews everything that was lost here and renews us and changes everything. He said in verse number four, all the former things are passed away. You're going to look at people and say, "But I don't remember anything about that guy." You just remember who they are, but you don't remember anything about them. You're not going to walk to somebody in heaven and go, "Hey, you owe me $200. That car you said you're going to pay, you never paid it off. I want the pink or I want the 200. Give it back. Let's go." You're going to walk to somebody and go, "Hey, where's my hammer? I loaned you that hammer. Remember that? 422 years ago. I loaned you that hammer. You never gave me that hammer back." Some of you folks, you got a weird idea about heaven. Somehow or another, heaven is where we're going to settle all our scores. We're going to look at these people and go, "All right, now you've had it now, pal. I got forever to tell you what I think about you. Former things are passed away. Look at me." And that means about you too. Huh? They're going to look at you and not remember some of the stuff you said or you did, because the former things are passed away. See, God, God makes everything right. It's all good. Everything's renewed. It's all made right. You see, Pastor Johnson, I mean, do you really think that's what it is? Why don't you think it is? That's what he said. I have no problem with what God said. I have no problem with that. I don't know what people think about heaven. Somehow they get this idea, well, you die, you go to heaven, and then, you know, whatever. Whatever? You mean it's up to us? Look at the mess we made things down here. We're going to go up there and mess it up? No. No, no, he's not going to leave it up to us. There's going to be any polls. No one's going to take a poll. What do you want to do in heaven today? Well, let's ask all these guys over here. What do you think? And then put it on the news. The survey said 57% of Americans, when they only asked about 2,000 of the 350 million of us what we thought. No, they're going to do that in heaven either. Not going to walk around heaven and go, "What's it all about?" Some of you people, seriously, you're so negative, you're gonna spend the whole time in heaven going, "This is really beautiful. This is really beautiful. This is really beautiful." Just to teach you to quit griping about everything else. "Well, it's heaven. I thought it would be bigger than this. I don't know. You know, what do you think?" And that's not really what it's going to be. Some of you, we're going to have a name tag to know you, because when you say how beautiful it is, we're going to go, "Who is that? Negative Nelly, who's this person? down in the mouth, Mike, who's this guy over here now? Who's this dude right here? Who is this person? That, but see, God will take all that. It'll all be made right. You see, with Pastor Johnson, I mean, you know, it sounds really nice, but see, the reality is, no, your reality doesn't have enough faith to make this reality worth living. Yeah, 300 plus funerals. Vast majority of those people knew the Lord before they went to heaven. Or there were so little they didn't have to. God took them. And he took them to himself. You mean to tell me you go by a cemetery and that's the dead end street for you? I feel sorry for you this morning. Yeah, look at me. You look at death like it's some kind of stop sign and that's the end of life. I don't know about you this morning. I feel very much, look at me. I feel very sorry about the fact that some people have nothing to look forward to but this life. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, what do we do in heaven? Revelation 22, verses 3 and 4. Some shall be's, and we'll go into them this morning. We're too close to hometown buffet. Or you get past noon, and Baptists get itchy. And I'm 8 minutes past noon. So I'm running on the Antichrist right now. This is bad. It's the shall be's. There are seven shall be's in Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4. Shall be's. Now, that is not an exhaustive list. It just kind of encompasses a lot. And one of the things, look at me, one of the things it says is this: his servants shall serve him. See, we think heaven is like eternal retirement. You go to heaven and you do nothing forever. Now, some people, that sounds exciting because they don't do anything now. Like, lazy is their goal. That's what they want to do. They just want to sit around, listen to their arteries harden, and pick the fuzz out their belly button, knit a sweater for their grandma. I mean, they got nothing to do. But now look here. You know what? Now, serving him now, for people who enjoy that, that's what they get to do in heaven. There must be things to do then. I don't know. I would like to know if people in heaven know when we're coming. The Bible does say there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. Not the angels, those in the presence of them. Well, that's our saved loved ones. They know when we get saved down here. I believe they know when we run our race down here. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1 says we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, so we need to run the race God set for us. Like they are in the stands watching us running our race, just like you watch an event of some kind, you see what goes on. I believe they see us while we live in the will of God, nothing else, but while we're in the will of God. I believe that. I don't know, does God tell them, get ready, Mike's coming over now, get ready, so then all my people are lined up when I show up? I don't know about that. There's just a lot I'm not sure of. But I know this, there is a real place called heaven. And you have to have a reservation and an invitation to get in. But once you're in, you're in. And then this place that's heaven, he solves all of our problems, resolves all of our issues, wipes all tears from our eyes, reunites us with all of our loved ones who have gone before us, takes everything that's away from us that caused all of our family dramas. It's all gone. And then we're in heaven forever with Jesus, God, and our loved ones. My question to you is this morning. Are you going?